With Brexit looming and no deal Brexit going to have a terrible impact on Irish jobs, and then of course now there's a new compromise deal, we really don't know what's going on. But I have SIPTU Deputy General Secretary Gerry McCormick on the line to tell me all about what the impact will be. Hello, how are you?
Good morning, how are you? Or good afternoon, I should say.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm good and hope all's good with you. Now, there's so much happening. You can blink or just turn around 5 minutes later, something else is happening with this Brexit. So we're really up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen. But what economic effect, what will it have with us with regards to the impacts on Irish jobs, depending on what Brexit deal we get?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first thing to say is that the first point that you make is part of the problem, which is the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, business don't really know how to deal with it because they don't know what's happening. And just like you said, you have to check your phone maybe every time you go to speak about Brexit to see what the latest development in it, because it just changes so much. And that in itself has a big impact on jobs, because an awful lot of companies are not investing where they would normally invest. And that has an impact on particularly, you know, maybe part-time or seasonal jobs across the food industry because of the uncertainty. Now, the ERSI have predicted that a Brexit will cost us in the region of 40,000 jobs. Now, they've revised that figure and said that it's 80,000 jobs, but that's 80,000 jobs over a number of years. It's not an immediate 80,000 jobs. But if you work in the food industry, if you work in agriculture, the job levels that will be impacted will be much higher within those sectors of the economy. But I suppose the big issue that's not been talked about, and which is going to be a bigger problem for us, that if the UK were to fall out of the EU, you know, through one of these Brexits that's uncontrolled, the big issue that we have is that what people forget is that 13% of our exports are to the UK, which is fairly significant, but they're not our biggest export market. Our biggest export market is actually the EU. Mm. But what we get from the UK is 35% or thereabouts of our imports come in from the UK. So you walk down any town or city in this country, you walk into the big multiples, the retailers in this country, you will see how much of the product we actually buy from the UK. It's huge. It's over a third of everything we buy. So when you add what we sell and what we buy together, it comes to about 50% of everything we buy or sell has some link with the UK. Add to that then that our exports to the EU use the island of Britain to transport our goods across to mainland Europe. 70% of it, I believe, is used through that land link.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a disorderly Brexit, well, what will happen is that all this product, exports and imports, will be sitting on trucks at ports, at warehouses, at ferries. They will not be able to move. And the potential is that tens of thousands of people will be laid off as a direct result of this type of a Brexit taking place. So it has huge implications for this country. And by the way, it's not just these agriculture sectors that are going to be impacted. Every sector in every location throughout the country is going to be impacted.
This is the problem. And now they're coming up with some compromise deal. Can you even explain to us? I think we've all lost the will to live, really. We don't know what each deal entails and what's this compromise deal that they've come up with?
Well, I don't know if they've actually come up with anything as of yet. As you know, the Parliament keep rejecting every proposition that they put forward. Theresa May's own agreement or that she negotiated with the EU has been rejected on three occasions. So it looks like it's a dead duck. So every alternative around having a customs union or, relationship with the single market has been discussed by the Parliament, and each of those have been rejected. Only one vote has actually gone in favour, which is the one by one single vote, which means they cannot effectively leave the EU without doing an agreement, and they must seek an extension of the Article 50 in order for them to complete an agreement. So it's in effect a stalemate. And there is as much a chance now that they won't leave the EU as they will leave the EU at this stage, the way the balance of power has moved across the UK Parliament. I mean, it's an incredible situation, because most of what's happening at the moment has been driven by nationalism, and has been driven by a referendum that wasn't based on facts. Mm-hmm. We all know that there was money used illegally to influence the no vote, or to leave the EU, the Brexit vote. Mm-hmm. And that has left us in a situation now where the economic arguments have been really set to one side, because in reality, the UK export about 50% of all their products to the EU. It's worth something in the region of £500 billion to their economy. And for anybody to sit back and say, we will leave that free market, leave that common market and all of the benefits that's from it, makes zero economic sense. Mm. In fact, it was described, which I would agree, is described as the greatest self-inflicted wound ever perpetrated on the country by its own government.
Oh, definitely. I mean, but prior to this, I mean, I really feel sorry actually for Theresa May having to go through all of this, because I just watched there over the weekend an interview she was in front of the electorate, and she was telling them how great it is to stay in the EU, and all the good things about it, and how bad it would be if they were to leave. And yet then she gets this poisoned chalice, so to speak. She's been given this, and she has to run with it now and try to, you know, get people to agree. And they're just, you know, to me, it's just like they're bold children. They've just stomped off, and now they're trying to. Oh, right, never thought of the consequences of this. Yeah, of this vote. Put it out to the people, you know, to get their way. These little bully boys, and now it's all coming to bite them on the, you know what? And they don't know where they are. They don't know how to get out of it. And of course, they can't retreat. They can't go back. It'd be tail between the legs. So they have to leave. But it's the effect it will have on us, even with a hard border in place. Do you think that's going to come out, or what's this backstop? Will that help us? And how long will it help us for?
Yeah, well, the backstop is very important. And again, an awful lot of people don't understand what it is. Mm. A backstop is simply an insurance policy, and what it's designed to do, because where we're at the moment, all of the EU and the UK have agreed so far, although it hasn't been passed on the Parliament, is how they exit the EU. Mm. It doesn't agree how the economics will work for the future, which is another negotiation which will take another 2 years to negotiate, assuming Theresa May got an agreement across the line. So if you're, from an Irish perspective, would say, well, that's grand, you're out of the EU now, you still remain as part of the EU for the next 2 years until we do an agreement. But the UK could walk away from it. Anything could happen. Mm. You could get a Brexiteer government put in place, the DUP in Northern Ireland, which effectively could mean that you would end up with a hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. And our government were quite correct to insist that regardless of the outcome of the negotiations, and this is what the backstop says, if you cannot agree how the relationship is going forward, well then the default situation is that Northern Ireland must remain within effectively the customs union and the single market, thereby avoiding having a hard border on the island of Ireland. Yeah. And why that's so important, it's not an economic issue, because we do very little trade with Northern Ireland. Our big trade, 98% of it or so, is with the UK mainland, with Britain, not with Northern Ireland. Mm. The big issue, of course, with Northern Ireland is our peace process. Yes. It's the citizens of Northern Ireland who believe that they're Irish, who have the right to Irish passports, who have the right to all of the rights that's inferred upon them as EU citizens, which they cannot have if they fall outside the UK in a hard Brexit situation. So there's those rights of citizens, and there's the Good Friday Agreement, or some people call it the Belfast Agreement, which has kept peace on this island, not perfectly, but very close to it. For the last 20 or 30 years, it has been very successful in doing that. And anything that could bring back the violence is something that has to be rejected by any sensible thinking person.
Definitely, definitely. But we are in a terrible position even where we are situated on the globe, on the planet, you know, being the other side of the UK and all of Europe to the right of them, we are kind of going to be isolated in where we're situated, you know. So really all of these negotiations are very important to us and how we'll go forward.
Yeah, but the reality is that the majority of people in this country understand Brexit an awful lot more than citizens in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that's no disrespect to them, because it's the message that they were given. Yeah. Every problem that ever existed in the UK was blamed on the EU. Now, the EU is by far not a perfect institution, and as a trade union official, I certainly have issues around the EU and how it does its business, particularly how it impacted on this country during the crisis. Mm. That being said, economically speaking, socially speaking, in terms of the rights of workers to be able to work in other countries, travel, you know, it has increased the trade of this country substantially, and it has made this country, to be quite honest with you, as rich as it is, as far as you can call it rich. And that's a very important element of it as well. But I listened with interest last week to RTE when they went over to a constituency in the UK. And as they called it, it was a working class, the last white working class constituency in London. Now, that was their words, not mine.
Wow.
And they interviewed three people, and the three people were asked, well, what way did you vote? And he says, well, we voted to leave. You know, we voted for Brexit. And he says, well, why did you vote to leave? Well, we wanted to keep the foreigners out of the UK. We didn't know anything about this custom stuff. We didn't know anything about single markets. We just wanted to put up our borders to stop people from coming into our country. And of course, that's how that vote ultimately ended up being successful for the Brexiteers, because they used this fear of migration against all of the EU immigrants coming in, something that had nothing to do with any economic chaos that the UK had gone through for the previous 20 or 30 years.
Yes, yes. Oh, I know, sure. They really don't know. The majority of the people on the street in the UK haven't a clue really what they voted for, and that's part of the problem. But I don't know, we wait with bated breath. What's the date now it's been pushed out to?
This is it now. I follow very closely. I'm not 100%. I think it's going out to the 22nd of April. From my understanding, they're going to look for an extension. The EU is likely to give them a further extension, but probably a long extension. It could be a year, but that they can exit at any time if they reach an agreement in their parliament, and that can be agreed with the EU. So they have the option to leave. The big difficulty, of course, is that nobody knows how the parliament is going to end up voting. Even Labour have a far better position on this than the Conservatives, but they do have the position of actually wanting to leave the EU and not have a referendum. It's a very tricky territory for them as well. So it's all up for play at the moment, and anybody's guess. If you're asking me my opinion, I think they're going to go for the long extension. It'll peter itself out, and they may actually end up with a vote, and they may end up staying in the EU.
You think that they may actually stay?
That's a possibility. Yeah. It's certainly, in my view, that a disorderly Brexit is the most unlikely outcome, I would think, out of the whole thing. Mm. Even though, you know, we're talking about it and preparing for it, I think it's the most unlikely simply because it doesn't make any sense. What probably does make sense is that if they can get an agreement that gets them across the line, because the difficulty they have is that any agreement that they reach is unpalatable to the MPs in the Parliament, both Labour and Conservative. And that's the problem. And they can't get enough MPs to get any type of agreement across the line, it would appear to me at this stage. That might change when it comes down to the bottom line.
Yes, but the fact that if it goes longer again, the EU, the elections are coming in place. Yes, for that. Yeah. So they'll have to put forward people for that, you know, so that kind of takes then our places. Yeah. Where they would have been distributed.
Yeah, it's a total mess. I mean, if you look at the politicians in the UK, you think, you just say to yourself, well, aren't our people great compared to them?
Oh my goodness, that's bad.
I mean, isn't that really bad to be able to say that? But they are absolutely terrible, you know?
Yeah.
And most of them don't know what they're talking about. They're only guessing about this thing. But they're trying to make a political argument using economics that doesn't add up, simply doesn't add up. And anyway, look, it'll get itself sorted at some stage.
Yes, yes, but it's the effects that it'll have on our island, you know, the island of Ireland in itself. It's the effects that it'll have on our markets and that.
Any type of Brexit, whether it's soft or hard, is going to have an impact on the economy of this country. Let there be no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It may not mean, if the softer, the better. It means it'll have a lesser of an impact, but it still will have an impact on this country. Just think about the citizens, if they have an exit. Think about, say, migrants working in this country, who, you might be from Poland, but you're a truck driver and you travel across the UK or you travel to Northern Ireland. What is their status going to be? At least as an Irish citizen, you have the free, or not the free travel, the common travel area, which allows you to travel, but migrants won't. 12% of our workforce is migrant. 12% of our population is migrant. So they're going to have issues around that as well. So it has impacts everywhere that people haven't even thought about. Buying product abroad, not having EU regulations to protect you anymore. On the internet, if you buy stuff in the UK, another problem. And just the simple stuff, you know.
Where can the normal, you know, the everyday Joe blogs find this sort of information? Have you any reports or any information up on your website? Or where can people find, you know, how it's going to affect them? You know, small businesses or the ordinary, you know, person on the street?
Yeah, well, I have to say the government have a website. I just can't remember the name of it. It's very, very good. I went into myself and had a look at it. It gives all the information that you need, especially if you're a small business or even citizens, or if you have a big business. It does give you the information. I do have to say this. Our government agencies have been absolutely superb. Now, while we might disagree with the government and not provide enough funding to protect workers and to train them and educate them in the event of a Brexit, but leaving that aside, the state agencies have been excellent. They have lots of information. All of the state agencies have information on their websites if it's a particular industry. But there is lots of information out there, and I would urge people, workers, citizens, businesses, to go in and check out those websites and get the information. They should be Brexit ready, or getting Brexit ready. It's too late nearly at this stage, but they should be getting ready just in case.
Yes, yes, definitely. Well, thank you, Gerry, for coming on the line. Unfortunately, we're at the hour now, so I'll have to finish up. Thank you, Gerry, and I'm sure we'll talk again when more changes come to pass. Every day we could be on talking about something else.
No problem anytime, and thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerry. Take care. Gerry McCormick there, the General Secretary of SIP2, trying to give us an insight as to the impact of Brexit here in Ireland. Now, come to the end of the show. Can't believe the 2 hours are up. And, of course, stay tuned for...